good morning. It's good to have you all again. Add to Doug's welcome. I know it's a small crowd, and you might think it's a little awkward, but we're talking about faith and miracles of healing this morning, and I figure if we get a few of those out of a small crowd, it's all right. We can work with that. So my faith is high. My expectation is great that God will work this morning, small or large crowd. So praise God. Glad to be here. Saw the video. If you were here last week, you heard the introductory message about opening our gifts. I grew up on a farm. If you've heard me preach, you've heard me say that phrase too many times, but there might be a few new ears. And my birthday was in the summer, which was a busy time. And gifts usually were in the coveralls, work boots category, somewhere in there. And I remember one year, I'm guessing I was eight or nine years old. It was my birthday, and we'd already milked the cows, because cows don't care if it's your birthday or not. You still have to milk them. And my dad said to me, "Hey, will you go grab me a tool out of such and such a garage, a building?" And I said, "Sure," because, I'm a good kid. So I walked over to the building, and there was this shiny new white bike leaned up against a workbench. And at 9 years old, I kind of remember thinking, it's my birthday. But that can't be for me, because again, birthday presents were usually more in the coveralls, work boots category, not the shiny, nice, new white bike category. And I remember just deciding, nah, I'm just going to not mention it. I'm going to leave it alone. And of course, my dad was setting me up to go do a task for him and be surprised by said bicycle. But I came back and told him I couldn't find the tool I was looking for and just left it at that. And I think as I look back, there must have been something in my guarded 9-year-old heart that said, now that's too good. It can't possibly be. I know it's my birthday, but that's just, we don't do bikes for birthdays. We do work boots. And I think after, I don't remember the exact exchange, but eventually my father, I think rather disappointedly, had to encourage me that was in fact a present for me and I could go, pick it up, use it, and enjoy it. And I was thinking about the title of our series being Opening Our Gifts. Gifts are cool. If you don't open them, not so cool. And it's not just not cool for you as the recipient of the gift. It's not cool for the one who put a lot of time, energy, potentially some money into giving that gift to you, thinking that you would really enjoy it. And I can't help but wonder if my dad was just deeply disheartened that his boy didn't come to terms with the fact that this gift was in fact for him. And so we're talking about spiritual gifts, but we're not just talking about them so we can have an academic exercise in what spiritual gifts are, although, there's some value to that. But I think as we consider this series, let's open these things. We're going to talk about gifts of healing today. We're going to talk about gifts of faith today. Maybe you're familiar with that. Maybe you love gifts of faith and healing. You've operated in them, and that's wonderful. I hope it encourages you. Maybe it's brand new. Maybe your church, you just didn't talk about stuff like that. Or when you did talk about it, it was more in the context that those things were past and the apostles did those things. We don't do those things, and people who do those things are weird. The last part of that statement may or may not have some merit, but regardless, we are going to dive into what the scriptures say on this issue, and I would encourage you to have an open heart, regardless of where you're coming from on the matter, and just say, God, if this is a gift that you've prepared to give to me to operate in, then I want to be pleasing to you. I want to receive it with joy. And if I don't quite understand it yet, I'm committed to going through a process to learn what it means to operate in gifts of faith and healing. So with that, let's pray and commit our time to the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it guides us. We do submit ourselves to you this morning, Lord. We want to be useful instruments to you. We want to be a blessing to people around us, those in the church and those in our community who aren't part of the family of faith yet. And I ask that you would increase the gifts that are in this body, Lord. I pray that we would pursue them. I pray that we would use them. I pray that we would love our neighbor through them in Jesus' name. More and more. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 9. Matt talked about this text last week. We're focusing specifically on verse 9. The context is, if you're part of the body, you have gifts. There's two major texts in the New Testament that describe those gifts. They are different. The list of gifts are different in the two of them. We're focusing on the gifts in this series in the 1 Corinthians 12 text. And so there's certainly other gifts as well that you may have or pursue or God may nurture in your life. But in this list, we're on verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit. So if you're wondering how I came up with faith and healing for the gifts to focus on, they're together in this text. They are in the text. And God, by his one Spirit, has given these gifts to some members of the body. Matt shared this definition of spiritual gifts. I'll reiterate it. It's from Sam Storms. It says, spiritual gifts are nothing less than God himself in us, energizing our souls. Have you ever felt your soul energized? I love that phrase, energizing our souls. Do you ever get energy inside of you? You feel like, are you the person whose knee bounces constantly if you're sitting down? I remember, I'm not good at sitting down because I get ideas and I want to do stuff about it. My soul gets energized. And sometimes that's a fleshly energization and you should resist those. But sometimes the Spirit of God moves in us and we get itchy. We want to do things. We just can't wait. It starts to burn inside of us a little bit. That's a spiritual gift. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And I love that phrase. It's God himself in us, energizing our souls, imparting revelation into our minds, infusing power into our wills, and working his sovereign and gracious purpose through us. Again, that's Sam Storm's definition. Part of how God energizes my soul in the context of spiritual gifts is when I hear good preaching, I want to preach. I don't know if you have. It's actually, for some of you who may wonder, what are my spiritual gifts? That might be an indicative tool for you, just to, when you're around somebody operating a gift that energizes your soul, even though you're not doing it, that might be an indication that God has similarly gifted you. And I didn't grow up around good preaching at all. It wasn't until my early adult years that I was in environments, Bethany being a significant environment, where I started to hear good preaching. And when I heard good preaching, there was something that energized my soul. I'm not sure I could put my finger on it at the time, but it was the Holy Spirit. He was stirring in me, and I wanted to preach. They were saying all the things that I already knew. Of course, that was 20-year-old arrogant me thinking I knew all of those things. But that's how you grow. It's okay. And it energized my soul, and I wanted to do the thing that I was seeing done well. And then you hear not good preaching, and you're like, these are 10 reasons that guy's terrible. And that's also an indication that maybe you have a gifting in that. You also may have to mature in it and become more gracious in it as God nurtures it in you. But you may be surprised to know, and I tell this to people who've known me in my adult life, but it wasn't until I was 20 years old that I ever willingly stood in front of a group of people and said a word out loud, ever. I was maybe 20 years old. Up until that point, high school, middle school, elementary school, I gladly, joyfully took failing grades every time publicly addressing a group of people was required. I wouldn't do it. Didn't care. I would never, you couldn't have paid me $10,000 to stand up in front of a group of seven or less, any group number of people, and say anything. It was the furthest thing from my personality. It still is. It's still weird for me that I stand in front of people and say things. My family thinks I'm a total nutcase because they didn't know me growing up to be like that, and I wasn't like that. But I love how Matt talked about natural and spiritual gifts last week. If you missed the message, listen to it. It was really good. I feel like I've advocated for it like seven times now already. Listen to Matt's message. Really good. I don't have a natural gift to stand up in front of people. I was not voted most likely to lead anything. I was not voted to most likely anything. Not sure anybody was even super aware I was kicking around. But then I got saved and the Holy Spirit resided in me, and then I got around good preaching and I thought, that's awesome. I want to hear more like that. So I want to give more of that. And then that's how the gift nurtured. And one day I had the courage to stand up in front of a group of peers and say a few things and kind of took off from there. And I hope I do a decent job. I hope it's useful to you this morning. I hope it encourages you. I hope over the years of just looking at the Word together that the gift God gave me serves you and stirs up the gifts in you so that you can serve others with the gifts God has given you. I'm grateful for all of them. So he's given a gift of faith and of healing. And I know this is like high-level stuff, right? Faith and healing. Like, you've got to be on TV to have that kind of gift, I think, right? You got to be a total nut job if you're going to have the gift of faith and healing. And I want to just absolutely back you off of that initial intimidation and thought this morning. I'm going to talk about faith and healing for ordinary people. I hope you consider yourself ordinary. If you don't, you're probably far more ordinary than you think you are. We're all kind of in that bucket, and it's okay. It's fantastic. I love just being an ordinary guy. Because when you put it in the context, again, of gifts, God just moves in extraordinary ways through ordinary people because it's a gift, right? It's a gift. You don't have to analyze this too deeply to recognize it didn't come from you. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. Somebody far superior to you and far better than you gave it to you, and it's actually not for you. It's for other people. So you don't have to have a super high view of yourself to consider the possibility that God would move miraculously through you. And these are miraculous gifts, which is why they intimidate us, probably. Because for some reason, perhaps, we've concluded that supernatural, crazy, incredible things happen through supernatural, incredible, crazy people. And again, I just want to bring that back down to ordinary people terms for us, because that is what we are. And God wants to raise the dead through some of you. And God wants to bring healing to people through you that have sought out healing through 20 other venues and have not realized it. God wants to birth vision in some of your hearts, and he will, and he has already, that you think is insanely unlike, it's highly improbable to occur, but because of the gift of faith operating in you, you'll spend 25 years of your life laboring towards something that will eventually be realized. And you're still just ordinary you. But we have an extraordinary God who works in us. Amen? So here's two super ordinary definitions of the gifts of faith and healing that I made up myself. Gift of healing. It's when you pray for somebody who's sick and God heals them. I told you, I made it up myself. Proud of that one. I'd way rather two of you go actually lay your hands on a sick person after this message than all of you understand a more technical definition of the gift of healing than that. Amen? Amen. That's why we're doing this. We're doing ordinary people, extraordinary gifts. Ordinary you, extraordinary God. Your love's this big, God's love's this big. He just deposits a gift in you. It operates through you because you surrender to him, and then his extraordinary love is expressed to people who didn't know it. That's kind of what we're after. Gift of healing. You pray for somebody who's sick and God heals them. That's your definition. Got it? Can you remember that? You might want to take notes. I know it's kind of hard to remember. Gift of healing. This one's a little more nebulous. I tried to come up with something equally snarky. I was unable to. Because this one is a little different. If I asked all of you what the gift of faith was, I think we'd get quite a spectrum of answers here this morning. I'm not sure how I would have answered it before I actually spent 2 weeks getting ready to speak on the matter. The gift of faith, I'm going to keep it simple, but it is a little bit less snarky. It's when God convinces you that something is his will, even though it seems crazy, so you believe him for it until it happens. Can you work with that? A little wordier, still pretty simple. The gift of faith. It's when God convinces you of something that seems impossible. And when I say this, I'm going to stretch the definition. Now I'm going to talk about it after I give you the definition. I'm going to stretch it out a little bit more too. I think when the gift of faith is in operation, there's not clear biblical boundaries to what you're believing God for. If there was, I think we could articulate it a little differently. It'll make more sense as we finish the message. Believing for somebody's salvation, that's God's will, right? We know it's God's will that all men come to faith, come to repentance, put their trust in the Lord, avoid the judgment of God. We want that. God wants that. We pray for that. You labor for that. And do it in faith. That's faith. I'm not sure it's the gift of faith necessarily, because I think the gift of faith is a particular thing that God grants to some people in the body at certain times to believe God for things that maybe outside of the boundaries of what we see defined in Scripture even. And now some of you are scared. It is a little bit messy. Now, it doesn't contradict the Word of God. It doesn't contradict the revealed will of God. But think about, One of my favorite miracles Jesus did is he turned water into wine. Besides getting a lot of people tipsy, it didn't really serve humanity in a really significant way. It displayed his glory, which was important, but he just does this crazy miracle. Now, I realize the gifts, when we're talking about Jesus, is a little hard to talk about because he can certainly tap into any of them anytime he wants. But I've believed God at times in my life for little things because I felt like God told me, you should believe me for this. And if I told you the stories, you'd be bored out of your minds because they're meaningless to you. But they actually anchored my faith early on when I first put my trust in Jesus. I'm talking like out in the field, taking care of cows, kind of David Shepherd, like, God, I feel like you told me this is going to happen and some wild thing happened, like almost instantly in believing God. And again, the details would bore you and make you think I was a weird farmer, which I was. But I just don't want to reinforce that perception. So we're gonna skip the details. But I think at times God's given me the gift of faith to believe him for something that I would have no way to know. The Bible doesn't say believe God that you'll find a broken part of a haymower in a 20-acre field. But you just walk into a 20-acre field that you spent 7 hours cutting and there's a piece of equipment that's broken and you need this little thing and you just see something immediately, pick it up, and you say, oh. Cool. But God birthed, I'm telling you, that's a real story of my life. And God started to anchor my faith after I believed. And I think if you stripped away some of those moments where God met me, and I think a small expression of the gift of faith was beginning to be realized in my life, I'm not sure what the trajectory of my faith would have been after that. It was really important to me. There was times when I doubted and I didn't want to follow Jesus, that I would look back and remember the things that God did and think, oh, I need to be careful before I jump to the conclusion that Jesus isn't really who he says he is, or that he's not going to do the things that he says he'll do. I need to just back off soberly because I remember that. I think the gift of faith sometimes just honestly stretches our conception of who God is and what he does. We'll talk about it a little bit more. Two definitions: healing. You pray for somebody that's sick, God heals them. Faith. God convinces you that something is his will, even though it seems crazy, and you believe him for it until it happens. I'll start with faith. I think these two gifts are linked together in the text on purpose. It says the gift of faith and of healing. And the word is actually plural for healing, gifts of healings. We'll talk about that in a second. I think they work together a lot. I think to believe God to raise a paralytic, for example, who's been sitting at a pool outside your city that you see every day, to come up to him and just administer healing and hope that in a moment he's going to run and stand and jump and praise God requires a gift of faith. A gift of healing, obviously. But I think it may require a gift of faith, too. I think the two are married together. I think as you look through the New Testament and you see the ways that both Jesus, but for our purposes, more so the apostles, prayed for sick people and saw miracles, I think the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, and the gifts of working miracles are all kind of married together. I'm not sure that you can 100% separate them and say, I have this gift but not that gift, or I can operate in this one but not that one, or God did this through this gift, but I feel like they're intentionally put together. And so I do think that as we dissect into both of them, we're going to constantly see a merger as well. So just want to put that out there. So first of all, healing. He's given some the gift of healing. I just want to say, this is just a personal thing for me, I think it's remarkable that our bodies work ever. I know I'm not old enough to complain about my body yet, but some days I feel like it. I did turn 40 last year. But when you think about the complexity of what is going on here and all that goes on here, like the fact that you can see and that you see essentially the same thing that I see, meaning we both kind of operate the same, that's crazy. The fact that we can make decisions about where we want to go and do it and think things and when you think about it's awe-inspiring, honestly. And then you think, when you damage yourself or somebody damages you physically, and that that just kind of fixes itself? That's crazy. How does my body know to do that? Well, that's all God, and that's I just want to lay that out there. We're talking about miracles. We're talking about faith. We're talking about big things. When you think about the way that God works in us to bring healing and strength and vitality to our bodies on a daily basis, it's wild. And I don't think we should gloss over it, honestly. My wife threw a chocolate truffle at my eye this week. True story. It's 100% my fault, otherwise I wouldn't be telling the story. And she's not even here. I told her to stay home because we live 20 miles away and the highway's treacherous. So she was acquiring said truffle, and I was badgering her for one myself, and she was playfully resisting. It's part of your job as a husband to badger your wife for truffles when she possesses them, in case you weren't aware. I was just doing my duty. And she was resisting playfully, and I was putting the pressure on that I also wanted to indulge in one of these truffles that were very hard-shelled truffles and quite delicious. When I finally broke her will, she playfully, and I'm saying this did I say playfully? I did. I'm not dogging my wife, and I'm not throwing her under the bus. She threw it at me, but I wasn't expecting it, and it hit me in the eyeball, and I have today what's called a corneal abrasion. So if you think I'm looking at you predominantly through my right eye, I probably am. This one's all cut up, but it's getting better. I went to the doctor. He looked at it and said, you know, it's like you got a flappy chunk of skin hanging off your eyeball, which was interesting and painful. 4 or 5 days later, whatever it is, it's getting better. That's crazy. How do eyeballs know how to put new skin where skin fell off because of truffles thrown at you by your wife? Praise God. Like, seriously, I'm sincerely praising God that my eyeball fixed itself, mostly, so far. In faith, I believe it will fix itself completely. I don't think we should just gloss over that. That's amazing, because when we think about healing, all we're talking about is one of two things: either expediting the natural process that our bodies go through to heal, that God made and God is behind, or overriding the natural process by which our bodies would deteriorate further because of said injury or sickness, and bringing the natural, the healthy state of our bodies back together. In any case, it's amazing that God does that. I don't think any of us would contend that Jesus himself administered this, that the apostles administered this, that this gift was in operation certainly in those times. And as you read church history and as you read church present, it's still happening. If you live in a world where you think that God doesn't heal anymore, get on an airplane, go interview some people. Looking at Paul Strand, Paul could probably tell us dozens of stories of miracles. I mean, the church, it's part of what it is to be the church. Carol over there, she's been around the world. She'll tell you about healings. God heals people. He loves to do it. He's always done it. And it tells me that God just wants to bring strength and wholeness and vitality to us. He loves us enough to do that. It certainly creates a platform for the gospel to be articulated when miracles happen. No doubt, right? I mean, again, read the biblical, the New Testament narratives. When miracles, when healings happen, the gospel kind of comes in really naturally and quickly as well. Jesus said in Mark 16, "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them. They will lay hands on their sick, and they will recover." That's the gift of healing. God may have used you in that capacity before, and he may do it again. And I would ask you to simply posture your heart in this way: God, do you want to do that through me? That's kind of what I'm asking for of you this morning. You don't need a technical definition. God, do you want to do that through me? If it stirs your heart, if it kind of excites you, makes you nervous, if you're a little scared, probably does. Might be a good sign. Might be giving you a little nudge. You might, Wednesday afternoon, you might be here or there, and you might see somebody who's sick, and you might have this horrid thought that you might need to go lay hands on this person and pray for them, and it might scare the mess out of you. And I would encourage you to do it. I mean, ask them first. Laying hands on people is weird if you don't ask them, especially if you're not in church. But a simple introduction that says, "Sir, I can't help but notice whatever you notice, and I believe Jesus would love to heal you. Are you interested in me praying for you?" You can ask that question. That's the gift of faith, of healing, and again, I think the gift of faith kind of dovetails in there as well. It takes a little bit of faith in God to go have that conversation with somebody, does it not? It takes belief that God might back you up and not make you look like an idiot. And here's the wild thing. God may do it. He might straight up just heal somebody. Is that because you're great and super spiritual and super powerful and super awesome and super extraordinary? No. It's because God loves this person. It might give you 2 minutes to tell them that Jesus is the Lord of all and they should surrender their life to him. And in the meantime, help them live a more vibrant life. It's an incredible gift. Look at James 5, verse 15. Don't have time for the whole context. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Do you see these two things again married together, faith and healing? The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. If you read the context, talking about Elijah, who is what? He's a man just like us. Even Elijah's normal. So, again, it's my plea. You're normal. You're ordinary. And that's okay. So was Elijah. Elijah prayed, and God shut up the heavens for 3 years, and it didn't rain. It's the gift of faith. Does the scripture tell us anywhere, if you pray that it won't rain for 3 years, it's not going to rain for 3 years? I think Elijah had revelation from God first. I'm going to bring drought here, and I'm going to show my power by telling you first. You're going to pray for it, and then you're going to announce to people, it's not going to rain until I tell it to rain. Because I serve Jehovah. He's going to make it rain because I can't do that. If I had any of those powers, it wouldn't have been snowing this morning. And I think that's the gift of faith operating in Elijah. He had a revelation from God. Here's what I'm going to do, Elijah, and I'm going to have you announce it, which is scary. Could you imagine announcing to a whole nation, it's not going to rain for 3 years? The weather guy can't get the next 2 hours straight. 3 years of weather forecasts. And I'm banking like my entire reputation on it. I'm just going to announce that. What is that? It's the gift of faith. It's a recognition that God's going to do something. I didn't make it up. Elijah didn't tell God, hey, here's the trick. I'm going to tell him it's not going to rain for 3 years. Then you're going to back me up. It's not going to rain for 3 years. That's not the way the conversation went. The conversation went, God telling Elijah, it's not going to rain for 3 years. You're going to tell them it's not going to rain for 3 years. So you say, but it's really going to be me saying. I think that's more like how the conversation went. Did it take faith for Elijah to step out and say those things? 100% it did. He was a man just like us. His reputation was on the line. He wasn't sure until the end of that first day, first week, first month, first year, if God was going to back him up. Because it doesn't not rain for 3 years. That doesn't happen. But it did. It's the gift of faith. But we're still talking about healing. But again, we can't separate them. The prayer offered in faith. Do we have a slide, Eric? Do you have it? Of a picture, a meme that I brought, because I love memes. Who loves memes? That's what I'm talking about. So this, dear Jesus, amen. I felt like this spoke to our matter this morning because does this look like the prayer of faith to you? You can answer. Does this look like a prayer of faith that says, God, I know your will, and you're going to do this, and it's extraordinary, and I'm going to put myself out there for it? Does that look like what this prayer is? It doesn't. Does this look like a lot of the prayers that you and I pray? It sure does, right? Like, God, I don't know. I don't even know how to pray about what I don't know I'm supposed to. Like, can I just tell you that's okay? Remember what Jesus said? If you go into your prayer closet and nobody sees you there, your Father sees you and he'll reward you. That's what Jesus said about prayer, right? Does that sound like the prayer of faith? No. I just want to say it's okay. Not every prayer has to be the prayer of faith. I'm going to tie the prayer of faith to the gift of faith and the gift of healing. I'm going to just create a slight delineation here. And I want to validate every prayer you've ever prayed, even if it's been basically faithless. When Jesus said, if you go into your prayer closet where you're not seen, my Father in heaven will see you and he'll reward you, he's not talking about the quality of your prayer, is he? There's no mention of quality. There's no mention of, oh, you're a super righteous dude and miracles are raining down from heaven the moment you open your mouth. He just said, if you just go do it, I'll see you and I'll reward you. It's going to be awesome. Every prayer you have ever prayed, as faithless as it might have seemed to you, counts. God saw it. It'll be remembered. It'll be rewarded. How do you like that? I like that. That's prayer 101 for ordinary guys like me. At the same time, we have this text, so that's kind of what this prayer life looks like, and that's good. I want to encourage you to keep praying that way. I think the fact that you even pray, that in your soul, or even in your mind, whatever, that you would reach out to God and ask anything or say a syllable, that's faith. That's why it counts. You wouldn't do it if you thought he wasn't there or doing anything or even wasn't half good. It'll come together. You'll get to know him better. Your prayer life will grow. But if that's where you're at in your prayer life, keep going. Don't stop. But then James talks about the prayer offered in faith. It'll make the sick person well. I think he's probably talking about the gift of faith, the gift of healing. It's this confidence that just by the Holy Spirit stirs up, energizes your soul. And there's almost an unseen certainty that God will deliver on your prayer for healing and for faith. And I want to encourage you to be attentive to that as the Holy Spirit works through you and stirs in you for the sick or for the impossible, for the crazy, the outlandish things that God deposits in your soul that will serve his body and express his love to them. Prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. I don't think the gift of healing or the gift of faith necessarily operates all the time through people who have that gift. Here's why. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about Epaphroditus, who he dearly loves, and how he was so sick that he almost died, and he frets over the agony that he would have endured had Epaphroditus not made it. Who is the most prominent gift of faith, gift of healing guy that you can think of in the New Testament outside of Jesus himself? The guy who was terrified at the prospect of his best friend, ministry partner, dying because of a sickness that just went on and on and on and on and on and on and on. It's a simple anecdote, if you will. It's not a text that says healing doesn't happen every time, and we don't have time to talk about when healing does or doesn't happen. We don't have time this morning to talk about all the reasons it may or may not happen. I'm just telling you, in the New Testament, the guy who healed more people than anybody besides Jesus himself didn't bring healing to his ministry partner, and he lamented over the prospect of losing him because of this sickness. But the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. So what is that? Can we conjure the prayer of faith up? Can we conjure up the gift of faith or the gift of healing? I submit to you, we cannot, nor should we. I think we should allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and bring that gift to the surface when he desires. Now, does that mean we're going to fail sometimes? Likely. Maybe we'll overstretch ourselves sometimes and go pray for some people when maybe God wasn't doing that, and we'll have to deal with some disappointments and some not understanding why something didn't happen. I've had friends die who I've prayed for, who left young children and widows and widowers, and you probably know similar situations. And I don't know how else to have believed anymore. Maybe it's my fault. I don't think it is. I think that's how it went. I don't totally understand it all. I've also seen people get healed and raised up, and crazy, miraculous things happen. So I think as you approach this gift, you don't say, oh, I want this gift so that every time I touch something, it turns to gold. I think you say, God, I'd love for you to stir this gift in me anytime you so desire it. If it makes me have to step out and do something crazy that might be foolish, I'm willing to do it for your name's sake, for your glory, for you to receive the praise that is due you in this situation. The gift of healing. You pray for sick people, God heals them. The gift of faith. It's just a supernatural conviction that God wants to do something that may or may not even be articulated clearly in the scriptures. It's just something out there. I think the gift of faith is actually, this is just my personal opinion, tied to the gift of leadership, which is a gift that you'll see laid out in the Romans 12 text about gifts. I think sometimes God deposits vision and faith in the hearts of young men or and women or old women or old men to believe for something to happen, and it's tied in with a gift of leadership that actually works on that. Maybe short, it might be a short-term thing, it might be a long-term thing. But I think about Bethany. I think about Ted Hegry. I never had the privilege of knowing Ted Hegry, but this campus, this ministry, obviously it wasn't all based on one man. There was dozens and hundreds of folks who contributed to that. But I do believe from what I've heard in talking to people and from what I've read from Ted and about Ted, it sounds like the man had the gift of faith, because he could see a campus where 100 missionaries were being recruited, trained, fully supported, and sent out, and he lived in Minneapolis in a house with some friends. What is that? I think it's the gift of faith. I think the gift of faith is a supernatural ability to see something and then see through it too, to work on it. And I would say in this case, he worked on it his whole life. And I'm grateful because here we are. Gift of faith. I'm going to break it down into three things, and we're going to shut this thing down because I am overtime, which is par for the course. When we talk about the gift of faith, it's important we don't confuse that with two other kinds of faith, and they are actually different words, but for our sake, since we speak English, I'm going to use English words, and they're all going to start with C, so if you're altogether amused by alliteration, then you'll be very impressed. I'm waiting for one or two chuckles. I worked hard on that. Thank you. Three C's, different kinds of faith. One, conversion faith. I see a few people shaking their heads, too. I'm equally pleased to see that you're shaking your head and that you think my sense of humor is slightly demented. Three kinds of faith, they all start with C, conversion faith. How many of you have faith in Jesus that your sins are forgiven because what he did on the cross, and that he's going to come and he's going to raise you from the dead, and all the believe and grant you entrance into the kingdom of God and punish those who rebelled against him? Got faith for that? It's good. Is that the gift of faith? No, that's not the gift of faith. It's good. I would actually order these in as important as we go down. I didn't say that very well. The first item here is the most important. The second item is the next most important. And I think the gift of faith is probably the third most important. The most important, I think when we talk about faith, is you believe in Jesus. All that we just packaged together there. You've put your faith in him. You believe in him. And because of that, you believe your sins are forgiven. They won't be counted against you. That's conversion faith. Ephesians 2 talks about that it's been given to us as a gift, not of our own merit. Amen? Love that kind of faith. Continuing faith. It's the second kind of faith. How many of you, the moment that you did what we just talked about, put your faith in Jesus, became just like Jesus? Not so much. We're working on it. Our faith is growing. The faithfulness is actually a fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit continues to work in our life, we become more and more faithful. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. He's saying to the Thessalonian church, your faith is growing. I see it. It's abundant. There's fruit coming from it. It's continuing faith. You're growing in your knowledge of who God is and believing him for who he is and what he says he'll do. I hope we're all on that trajectory. I hope we're all growing in faith. It's continuing. So we have conversion faith. We're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and of the Son that he loves. Two, we're continuing in that faith. We're pressing on in it. And three, there's a charismatic faith. And Matt talked about this again. One more plug for Matt's sermon from last week. Listen to it. Charismatic faith, this word gift, it's charisma. It's charismatic. It's where we get it from. There's a charismatic gift of faith. I think it's the kind of gift that we just talked about, alluded to, where God just surges a confidence in you that he's going to do something that otherwise you may not have the confidence to believe simply from Scripture. Here's a great example. George Mueller, you ever heard of him? He started orphanages, and they say by the end of his life he had served and housed over 10,000 orphans. It's an incredible ministry, and he had a general policy of not asking for money, believe God, and people regard him as this giant in the faith. And he said this about himself. He said, I don't have the gift of faith. He said, all I do is I believe God for the promises that he revealed in his scriptures that he's going to take care of the hungry bellies of these kids that I serve. It's not the gift of faith. It's continuing faith. I just believe God for what he said. It's very clear he's going to do this. So I'm asking him for eggs for breakfast for these 85 kids. And if eggs come, and they often did, cool, we're going to praise God for that. If something else comes, we're going to praise God for that. If we're going to fast today, we're going to praise God for that. It was he would argue, it's a fascinating discourse. I was actually kind of bothered by it because I love George Mueller, and I always thought of him as this giant in the faith who operated in the gift of faith, and I love that he actually said he didn't. Because all he was doing was believing God for his promises that were already there. That's continuing faith. This gift of faith says, God, this is where I would argue he did have the gift of faith. I believe you for a ministry that can serve 10,000 orphans and house them when I'm just a poor old ordinary guy. I think that probably was more the gift of faith, and maybe he undersold himself. But this gift of faith, this charismatic working that God does in us to believe him for something extraordinary, often it's tied to healing, to works of miracles. But again, I would submit to you that I do think that as God births vision in your heart for ministry and service, whether it be in the local church, whether it be in missions, whether it be in any capacity to serve his people, that I think that can be the gift of faith operating in you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We'll close our service now and worship together. We're ordinary people, and that's what we should be. And God wants to do extraordinary things through us. As we worship, I just want you to do two things. One, simply ask God to nurture the gifts that he's put in you. If faith and healing aren't the gifts that God has given you and aren't the gifts he's going to give to you, A, you don't know that. He may surprise you, so be open to that. But two, if you already have a clear idea of what the gifts are that God has put in you, just ask him to fan those into flame and nurture those and energize your soul with ways that you can serve him in those ways. Whatever they are, they're awesome. Every gift is awesome because it comes from an awesome giver. And secondly, with this, I would just say as we worship for a few minutes together, if there's a need that you know of, even in our very small congregation this morning, and you sense the Lord stirring faith for healing or for whatever the need is, and you want to go pray for somebody, I would encourage you to do that. You don't have to be on a ministry team to pray for somebody. Just go grab them. We will have ministry team folks around here. If you have a need in your life and you want to bring that to somebody and ask them to pray for it, they're going to pray in faith for it. See what God does. He does extraordinary things through ordinary people because he's extraordinary and they're gifts. They're not from us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the encouragement of your word this morning. I thank you for the example of those who've gone before us, who've believed you. God, I thank you for the miracles that you've done, that you're doing. Thank you for the miracle of just even being in this place and that we could come here this morning. You're so gracious. I ask that in this series, even these next few weeks, that more and more, God, you would stir up in us and energize our souls to serve in the ways you've gifted us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.